Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The texts were Job 38:4 through 18 and Matthew 14 verses 22 to 33. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where were you when God laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Were you there when God said to the seas, "Thus far you shall come, and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed"? Declare if you know how God did all of this. Where are you when God determines how to answer the millions of prayers that ascend to his throne in every moment, doing so in ways that were good for all his people and also thwart wickedness, all the while leading all people to himself? Where are you when he determines exactly where to send rain and snow and hail so that all people would have bread to eat and yet the pride of people would not blossom out of control? Where are you when God is determining the boundaries and places for all peoples and all nations, determining who will be given authority where and to what end? Declare if you know how God determines all of this. Where will you be when God sounds forth his trumpet at just the perfect time in human history and sends his son back to earth? Will you tell him how to find the remains of each of his people and grant them new life in new celestial bodies? Where will you be when God removes every evil that has hung over all the people forever from existence forever? Declare if you know how God will do all of this. Because sometimes you know you act like you should be able to instruct God, right? You have no trouble at times deep inside your heart and perhaps falling just outside your lips asking questions about the choices he has made. Have you ever just yelled up at the sky demanding that God come down and justify what he has just done? Well, Job, who is described as the most righteous man on earth, he had his moments. I know I've had my moments, and I suppose you have also. Many times, it is just the ordinary occurrences of life that end up bringing us to a place of arrogance before God. Why is that guy getting the promotion and I am not? Why did the hail hit my field, my garden, and not my neighbor to the north? Why do my friends all seem to be in happy relationships, and here I sit alone? Other times it is much more grave matters that cause us to rise up in opposition to God. I have served God my whole life, and yet the doctor just said the C word. This pain, it will not go away, and this joint, it will not heal, even though I have prayed and prayed. Dear God, how could you take my beloved one away from me so suddenly? It is in those moments we creatures feel like we must correct the Creator. We, made in God's image, decide to tell God himself how he should act. We demand that at the very least he should come and explain to us why he has chosen to do what he has done. But he can't. You see, you would not understand. You're not capable of it. And even if you could in part understand, you would still not agree with his choices, for you would see things much too simply. If he actually began to tell you everything he considers and watches over in this world, I think you'd soon stop him and tell him not to say any more just because of the sheer magnitude of it all. None of this, of course, means that it's easy just to trust God in those moments of ordinary life when you are discouraged, or in those portions of life where you are just downright destroyed. Many of your toughest questions indeed will remain without specific answers, and you will be baffled by them all. And therefore, the only real answer is the one given to Job. The only real answer is to know for certain these things: that God has it all, that he knows what he is doing, and that he is gracious and merciful and loving in his acting. And oh yes, that you are not gone. After all, where were you when God decided, even before he laid the foundations of the earth, that because of the upcoming awful plight of a bunch of rebellious creatures, he would send his beloved son down to earth? Surely you can explain why he chose to place such a precious treasure into perilous infant flesh in a tiny town ruled over by a paranoid king. Surely you know why a young woman named Mary was chosen. Declare if you know why God did all things this way. Where are you each time a child or an adult is brought to the baptismal font? Tell me if you know how God takes the same water that we drink and wash with and turns it into a life-giving water, rich in grace, a washing of new birth and of the Holy Spirit. How does he remove sin with that water and at the same time pour out his Holy Spirit to live inside each baptized person? Where are you each time absolution is pronounced or a sermon is preached and God goes to work? Surely you understand how God uses a sinful man with many limitations to actually bring the fruits of Christ's cross into your life through your ears. Clearly, you must know how he uses that same word at the same time he is forgiving you to also teach you and rebuke you and to correct you and to train you so that you might be equipped for every good work. And where are you when the Lord's Prayer is prayed and then the words of Christ are spoken over the bread and the wine and God makes his son's body and blood mysteriously and yet truly present there upon the altar? Surely you understand how that gift, making its way from the altar to your mouth, brings with it forgiveness, life, and salvation. Declare if you know how God does all of this. Tell me, are you the one who has helped God lay out the rooms in heaven just perfectly for the comfort and joy of his people? Do you understand exactly how it is that the angels will know just how to gather all of us into those rooms? Do you understand how it is exactly that God will separate the wheat from the tares, destroying the ones with fire and sealing the others in perfection forever? Yes, in both the things that disturb us and in the things that cause us joyful wonder, God is doing things far greater than we think or know. And today we are called to meditate upon that truth that God might grant us humility in that process. For then we will be able to bear our struggles in humility, and our praise will be lifted higher by the same meekness. Then our faith will be based always on the hearing of the word of Christ rather than on our shifting thoughts and feelings and understandings. Then we will be still and know that God alone is God. We will worship the God we cannot fully grasp with all humility and wonder. Even Peter, the great apostle, teaches us today that humility is needed for all who wish to believe. You see, when Jesus came out to the disciples walking on the stormy water, Peter was, as always, ready to act. At his Lord's command, he jumped out of the boat with his eyes fixed upon Jesus. But then his eyes shifted and he sunk, and his confidence sunk also in that moment. In the grasp of the stormy sea, God worked humility in Peter. Perhaps something that those who knew him might have found quite unlikely. But in a moment, he was nothing more than a drowning creature crying out to his Creator, "Save me." And if the storm had not finished the work of banishing his pride in that moment, Jesus' words surely did. He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But just as he delivered the death nail to Peter's self-importance, he also grabbed his hand and saved him. Yes, humility is often found resting peacefully in the saving hand of Jesus. And with Christ's word and with his outstretched arm, Peter then understood. Back soon in the safety of the boat, with the seas being silenced by the Savior, Peter was still. And he knew that Jesus was much more than a normal man. "Truly, you are the Son of God," he and his companions declared. Peter had known what it was to be confounded by Jesus' actions before this day. How could they feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And it would happen to him again. What did it mean that Jesus and Elijah and Moses were conversing in his presence? How could it be that the Christ of God could be crucified? Yes, in both the things that disturbed him and in the things that caused him great joyful wonder, God was doing things far greater than he could think or know. So let the recognition of your place with God humble you this day. Let the words of Christ rob you of your pride. Sink down until you have no other hope but to shout out, "Save me." And then feel as Jesus grabs your hand, as he calms the storm around you, as he places you back into the safety of his boat, the Christian church. No, you will not always understand what God does, but you will always know who he is. And that is enough. You know him in Jesus. Be still. Know who he is. Trust him alone. Amen.